And we learned some things from their lives, how, why God used them. And then somehow I didn't sense that I covered the faith aspect of Abraham. And so that is more clearly described in the book of Hebrews, how Abraham passed three tests of faith. And because of that, he became the forefather of a multitude of nations. And so we realize from Abraham, God calls his people, but he will test them whether they will trust and obey. And so because Abraham trusted and obeyed, he became our forefather as well. And going in our words, you can't miss, who is it? Moses, is that right? So we learned, did we talk about Moses last week? Yes, we talked about Moses last week, and we learned many good things. But moving onward from Moses, it says in Hebrews 11, 30, after talking about Moses just leading people across the Red Sea, verse 20 says, 30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. And by faith, Rahab, the harlot, did not perish because of those who were disobedient, perish along with those who are disobedient after she had welcomed the spies. So then it goes on to many other people, but here, verse 30 and 31 is related to the faith that was required by Joshua and the people and Rahab to see the walls of Jericho fall down. How many of you know the song? Joshua fought the battle of the Jericho, Jericho. Jericho, Joshua fought the battle of the Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Wow, it sounds like a Western song. But this is actually now the testimony of faith of Joshua. It's not only Joshua though. Faith of Joshua and the people of Israel and Rahab. So it's not just one person's faith. When the Jericho came down, it required faith of all the people. Just to start with a little backdrop context of Joshua chapter 6, that's when it's what we read today is described. Right before is Deuteronomy, 2 Deuteronomy 34. This is when Moses is finally for 40 years, they roam around the deserts of Sinai, this present-day Saudi Arabia. They get to close to the land of Canaan. He sent in 12 spies, and two came back. It was Joshua and Caleb said, no, we can conquer them, but the 10th spy says, no, they're too big, we can't. They didn't have faith, but Joshua and Caleb did. But anyway, for 40 years, actually, Joshua was used to be the second man, the commanding officer, the head commanding officer of Israel. As they went around the desert, Moses led, he spoke the word of God, 10 commandments and all that. And when there was opportunity, a situation where they needed to fight a battle, then Joshua was the one who would go and take the Israelites, the valiant warriors, and, fight the battle victoriously. And you remember that time when Joshua was fighting the battle and he commanded the sun to stop. And then there's Moses up there praying in the mountain. And then when he raised his hand, they would win. But if it gets tired and brings the arm down, they would fail. So Joshua and Moses, definitely amazing team. But Moses was the one who was called to set my people free from Egypt to bring to the end of the desert. And so here in the last chapter, Moses is up there in the mountain looking at the plain of Jericho. So in chapter 34 of Deuteronomy says, Moses went up from the plain of Moab and Mount Nebo, Pisgah, to the top of Pisgah, opposite of Jericho. The Lord showed him the land, and essentially he reviewed the promise. Then the Lord in verse 4 said to him, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go there." So Moses, because he was very obedient to God all through the 40 years, except a few times. God said, hit the rock, but he hit it twice out of his anger. So, but somehow, for a few reasons that he was not allowed to enter into the kingdom, the land of Canaan. And also all the older people above the age of 20, they were grumbling to God and Moses all the way through the 40 years in the desert. Because they were, in a way, spiritually, in a way, defiled, God just allowed them to die in the desert. And God only allowed the younger, the newborn who grew up in the desert at the age of up to 20, you know, they were allowed to enter into the land of Canaan. So Moses here, he sees the land of blessing, but he cannot go in. He died in the servant of the Lord died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, opposite. And no man knows the burial place. So people would not come and venerate Moses. So the place he was buried was not allowed to be known. But verse 9 of chapter 34, Joshua, the son of Nun. There's a joke about this, but I won't say it. Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had his hand laid on him, and the sons of Israel listened to him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. So Joshua, being so faithful to be the second man, to be ready to obey anything that Moses declared, the Lord, as Moses is about to die and the rest of Israel was about to enter in the kingdom, the land of Canaan, the Lord chose Joshua, who had been faithful for 40 years. And Moses laid his hand on him. The spirit was on Moses, now the spirit came upon Joshua, because he was so faithful and, you know, submissive to Moses, submissive to God. So he was given a spirit of wisdom. And because of that, you know, the hand of the Lord was upon him. The sons of Israel listened to him and did everything that God commanded Moses. So this is another interesting thing, is even though Moses passed away and Joshua is now the commander, God didn't give Joshua any new instructions so much apart from battling the new places. As far as the command of God, how to obey God, was given to Moses, but when Joshua took over, they were supposed to listen to what Moses commanded. So, you know, let's say you take on some leader's position. Let's say a leader is now kind of like moving on. He died or he's moving on. And you are perhaps the next man. In the world, what is common is, oh, I can't wait until this boss quits. I can't wait until, you know, he retires. Because if he retires, I'm going to change this, I'm going to change this, I'm going to change this. I'm going to do it differently. That's kind of a common way in the world. But for believers, because God, spiritual leaders, God speaks through the spiritual leaders to command in the way they should go. You know, God does it directly through the Word of God, definitely. There was an Old Testament along the way. Pentateuch was written, and they need to read that too. But God also gives spiritual leaders to speak through to bring the message to the congregation. So it is important, just like in this situation here. God spoke to Moses, but God is not dismissing Moses' commands God spoke through Moses. He's saying, Joshua, listen to everything that Moses said. The people, you know, listen to Moses and listen to Joshua's command. So these people, if you look at Joshua now, you know, God comes to Joshua. And if you were a second man for 40 years and then suddenly become the leader, how would you feel? Whoa, wait a minute. I don't mind being the second man. I don't want the responsibility of the leader. So he was pretty nervous. And God again promised him that he will bless, just like he told Moses, every place that you put your feet on will be yours. And verse 5 in chapter 1 says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. He's reassuring, just like I was with Moses, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will be with you. Reassuring Joshua, even though Moses is dead, you're taking over and it's a huge shoe to fill. I will be with you. So he's reassuring. And the other thing is he was scared. So he says, be strong in verse 6, be strong and courageous. I shall give you the people's, I shall give this people possession of the land, which I swore to your fathers. Verse 7 said, be strong and very courageous. Careful to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right to the left. So he says in verse 7, I mean, a couple of times already, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Even in verse 9, it says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble, do not be dismayed, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go. So God is really reassuring Joshua. Don't be afraid. It's a huge shoe to fill, but I'll be with you. I will not leave you. It also says, obey the commands I gave through my servant Moses. That's where, how many of you memorize Joshua 1:8? Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. This is actually a promise given to Joshua. God is reminding him, the book of the law, book of the law. Obviously, there was a book of the law by this time. Meditate on day and night. I spoke the Pentateuch. You know, the five book of the Bible, the Pentateuch was spoken through Moses. Do not neglect the book of the law. Meditate it on day and night, but remember to do everything written in it as my servant Moses called you to. And don't be afraid. I'll be with you. And so Joshua, you know, in verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers, saying, pass through the midst of the camp, command the people, saying, prepare provision for yourselves, for within 3 days you are crossing Jordan. So being assured by God, the second man, Joshua, he was encouraged to take on the leadership. He commanded the officers, get everybody ready. In 3 days, we're going to cross Jordan. But you know, once you cross Jordan, you know where you're going. It's the valley of Jericho. Jericho is the one that's right behind Jordan. So he realized he's been a commanding officer. What is lying ahead? And and then God blessing Joshua in this way. It's also important to know what the people responded, because we're talking about the faith of Joshua, people, and Rahab. Verse 16 of chapter 1, they answered Joshua saying, all that you have commanded us, we will do. Whatever you send us, wherever you send us, we will go. Even though their leader Moses died, if you've been following Moses for 40 years, those people died, but these young people, 20 years. They're attached to Moses. But realizing that God blessed Joshua, and the Lord is with him and the Spirit is with him, the people all said, all that you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. So the people were obedient to Joshua, not only to be obedient to Joshua. They were thinking, we pray that God is with you. And God, we worship God, we honor God. If God has chosen you, we want to obey you. Anyone who rebels against you, your commands, and does not obey your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. They said, if anybody rebels against your commandment, or your command, and does not obey your word in all that you command them, shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Remember this, because it's coming out with the battle of Ai and Achan. Disobeyed. Achan disobeyed. So God transfers the leadership to the second man, Joshua, blesses him with the Holy Spirit, reassures him that he will be with him, not leave him nor forsake him. Reiterates the promise of the land of Canaan. You will possess the land. And he reassures him, you have not been a leader, but you are now appointed a leader. Do not be afraid. Be strong. Be courageous. I'm with you. Remember that. So God reminded him, gave him the Holy Spirit, gave him the promise of Abraham, and also given to Moses, and the reassurance that he'll be with him, God will be with him, and just even a very personal word, because he was afraid. Kind of strange, like he's a soldier in battle, but overseeing people is another matter, Fighting the battle out there with the sword is one thing, but, managing people is another thing. I was talking to Bozzy, and he was telling me about what his old church pastor told him. There's difficult thing going on in his old church, and there's a bunch of elders who are against the pastor, and the pastor told Bozzy, I don't know why, but how, but he said, helping one person is like leading 1,000 people. So the difficulty of helping one person is as difficult as helping 1,000 person. That's what he said. I said, wow, that must have been tough. But anyway, this is a totally different thing. But by God's grace, the people were not like those who died in the desert. These people really honor and worship God. And they wanted to obey the command of Joshua. And he even said, if anybody rebels, you know, they will be put to death. So with that background, they crossed the Jordan. That's the next chapter, but we won't talk about that. They crossed the Jordan, but God gives them one of those miniature size of the Red Sea. You know what happened to the Red Sea? God parted the Red Sea. That's a huge Red Sea. So Israelites could kind of cross. But God gave them a miniature Jordan parting of water. The priest went with the ark in the middle of the river, and the water stopped. So they were able to walk over dry land. And when the foot of the priest left the water, then the water started to flow. So they are now in the valley, close to the valley of Jericho. So we come to chapter 6. And why was it by faith Jericho was defeated? Why was it by faith Jericho was defeated? Because the command was so outrageous in a way. The command that God gave in how to conquer Jericho was outrageous. Joshua is normally used to fighting the battle face on. There is the enemy. Here we are. Here's the sword. Here's the javelin or whatever. They go and fight all day long, and they gain victory over the enemy. But somehow, crossing the Jordan, you know, God didn't want to do this in a traditional way. Why? Yeah, I believe God was trying to test whether they would be obedient, test whether they would believe. Because to conquer the land of Canaan, this is the first battle is just a kind of a symbol of the whole battle of land of Canaan. So in coming into the land of Canaan to conquer, to possess the land, what they needed was not spears and swords and muscles. What they needed was obedience and faith. Faith in God and willing to obey God, even in spite of what my thinking is objecting to. So this is the part that we didn't read, but chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. This is where he is instructed this outrageous command in a way. Well, that sounds a little disrespectful. I shouldn't say outrageous. Just kind of like, what would you say? It's just not normal. It says here, verse 1, it says, now Jericho was tightly shut because the sons of Israel, no one went out, no one came in. You know, the reason is because they heard, these people in the land of Canaan heard, you know, it's word of mouth back in those days. There's no internet and no telephone, no nothing. You know, it's like word of mouth. What? There's a group of people moving out of Egypt? The slaves of Egypt? The Israelites are leaving Egypt by the thousands? What? The Red Sea parted? Their God must be amazing. So it was known that because they heard what God did for the Israelites, before even they arrived to the land of Canaan, the news went out there and everybody melted. I mean, we know this by actually the testimony of Rahab. And so they were closed, they're shut. They shut the door, you know, they were scared and their hearts melted and they were probably preparing for battle, but they did not know what to expect. But here's what the Lord says. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand." God gave Jericho to the Israelites. "With his kings and with his king and valiant warriors, you shall march," but here's the instruction, "you shall march around the city, all of the men of war, circling the city once. You shall do so for 6 days. And also 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. Then the 7 days you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests were born below the trumpets. It shall be that when they make the long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead." So this is Lord's command and prophecy. What's going to happen? "I have given you the city of Jericho, but you're not going to do it in a traditional way of, okay, bring in the ramp and, you know, climb the wall. They shoot arrows down and you climb up, and some of you die, but you have to get up on their wall and try to open the door and win the battle, like traditionally. Joshua was thinking, okay, I got to prepare for battle once I cross the Jordan River. You know, he probably thought of all the past experience. Okay, we won these group of people, those group of people this way. So he was probably even strategizing how we can win this city of Jericho. But instead, God comes to him and say, "I give you this city of Jericho, but you will follow my instruction. You shall march around the city with all the men circling the city once each day for 6 days. But on the 7th day, I want you to go circling around 7 times. And then at the end of it, the priests will blow their horn. And then Joshua will command somehow, and everybody will shout at the top of their lungs. And then the walls will crumble down. Then you can all, as you circle the city, you could go straight ahead into the city and destroy the people." And he said, destroy it completely, except the gold and the silver, bronze, and iron. That should be under the ban for God. So if you heard this, how would you feel? "God, I'm ready for battle now, but you mean to say we don't go up to the wall? You mean to say we don't shoot arrows? You mean to say we don't throw some fireballs? What, just walk around the city once each day for 6 days? And the 7th day, do it 7 times and then shout. Blow the horn and shout." That's pretty, like, kind of a confusing command. "God, how are we going to, you know, destroy this city wall and the people? Is this all you need to do?" So this is the test of faith that God has brought to Joshua. Not only to Joshua, but to Joshua's, you know, the people of Israel. So his instruction was, you should take the Ark of the Covenant. But you should have, actually, before the Ark of the Covenant, you should have priests blowing the horn. In the first day, they blew the horn too. But in front of the priest, there should be some soldiers. And behind the Ark of the Covenant, there should be soldiers. Soldiers, priests blowing the trumpet, Ark of the Covenant, and more soldiers. It's probably about 40,000 soldiers. And so they got up early in the morning and they went around. They went around. But another instruction is, as you're going around, do not even say a word. Do not say a word. That's another test, whether individual soldiers will be obedient. You know, when we go to VSET and missions, you know, our summer missionaries, we do a lot of training how to be focused on the mission, not to be distracted. And we instruct them, try to stay spiritual, even though you're walking around and hanging out, review scripture, share your quiet time, and stay focused. But it is not uncommon where the missionaries, when they're walking around, they're just talking about, oh, I love this food. I'm looking forward to eating when I go back. I love this movie. And they talk about movies and food and talk, you know, all kinds of, things in China. Let's say we were in China. We're not looking at the Chinese people and how we need to save the Chinese people, but they're talking to one another, just kind of like lost in their, whatever the interest they have, that's totally unrelated to being in China. So it just really distracts them from accomplishing the mission. So I tell them, okay, guys, tone that down. Let's pray for our kids that we're teaching. We teach English. We taught English there. And try to stay focused. Because when you're all focused, then, you know, you become unspiritual and you're not really ready for the missions that's at hand. I'm not sure that's why God told them not to say a word. But also, it was a test. It was a test. Test to see whether they will follow God's instruction. They will trust God and follow instruction. First, it was a test for Joshua. Whether Joshua will trust and obey God. Even though it's not a typical way of fighting the battle, to just simply obey. So Joshua was tested. But it doesn't seem like he objected. He called the priest immediately after he received the instruction from God how to fight the battle. He just went and instructed to the people. So Joshua passed the test. He trusted God. It was by faith Joshua believed God has given the city of Jericho unto the Israelites' hand. He believed God has given them the city. And this is how God said we should do it. By golly, that's what we're going to do. But not only Joshua, then Joshua instructed to the priest and the soldiers. Okay, people, come around. Here's what the Lord says, and we're going to do this to the teeth. The Lord said, line up in this way, soldiers, priests with the trumpet, you know, Ark of the Covenant, and more soldiers. We're going to go around that once. And I'm not sure if he said he gave him the whole scope, or he just went through it once, and then he gave another instruction for the next day. But I think he might have given it all at once too. So when he instructed the people, okay, this is what we're going to do because God has spoken to us. These people could have said, Joshua, are you sure? This is a battle to conquer a major people group here in the city of Jericho. Just walking around and shouting, is that going to do it? Blowing the trumpet, is that going to do it? The people could have objected. They could be thinking on their own. Wait a minute, this doesn't sound like a good battle strategy. Even though I'm not a soldier, for sure you need to shoot arrows. For sure you need to carry a sword and face them face to face and really fight the battle. Isn't that the way to do it? Everybody could become the expert. Everybody could become an expert. Sometimes I feel that way. I've been doing ministry for 40 years and various many different situations come up. And, you know, God gave me some wisdom, and there's some things that I would do a certain way. Avoid things in the future, even to help people. But when I prescribe this, you know, out of the wisdom God gave me through the years, sometimes there's a lot of voices saying, I don't think we should do it that way. I'm not sure if you are aware of what's going on. This generation may be different. You know, there could be all kinds of thoughts. And, you know, it's okay. Everybody has their own thoughts. But if that happens, there's not a trust in the leader, trust in the God who is leading the leader. There's not a unity of faith. But here, Joshua definitely passed the test of getting a like unexpected instruction how to conquer Jericho. The next thing was when he commanded the people, it was people's time, whether the people trusted Joshua or trusted the God who told Joshua this command. Or sometimes they might think, maybe I could talk to God directly, you know, which is possible in this, you know, in the New Testament culture. But still, God speaks not to us directly when it comes to a group decision. Then there's God speaks to the leader. And we sometimes need to trust the leader. But when Joshua told them, this is what we're going to do, people could have grumbled, had different opinions. I don't think we should do it this way. What? You mean to say I can't even talk to my neighbor once going around the city of Jericho? I'm sure many people were tempted to say, hey, what did you eat this morning? What did you do last night? You know? Hey, I kind of missed the manna. You know what happened when they came across the Jordan? Then once the piles of stone, 12 stones from the middle of Jordan River was piled and they worshiped God, as of that time, manna stopped and they were able to eat the fruit of the land. They had manna for 40 years in the desert. I kind of missed the manna. But anyway, whatever it is, they could have chattered. They would have been tested to chatter as they were walking around. It's a huge city, so they walking around, they're just tempted to say something. But the command of God was, don't say anything until the last day when Joshua commands, shout. So the people could have had a lot of objections, a lot of like thoughts of their own. This is kind of like military situation. Gabe, you're an ROTC. You're learning how to follow instruction from the military. You know who is right above you?
A lot of people.
So there's a lot of people, right? But there's a chain of command, and if you don't follow even one of those, then you are going to be court-martialed. I don't know, you're not a soldier yet. yeah, you know. So in the military, submission to your immediate authority and the authority above you is just absolute. Because in the battle, if the commanding officer instructs somebody and it's not followed, then it could mean disaster for the whole community. And you, it'll come out pretty soon. There was a disaster. Because one soldier refusing to submit or to obey could cause a disaster for the whole community. So here, there was like Israelites, over 40,000 soldiers going around with the priest and the trumpets. If one person spoke, that would have been a disaster. But for people to trust Joshua, who trusted God, to trust and obey was the faith that brought the Jericho down. It was Joshua's faith, and it was the people's faith that brought Jericho down. But did I mention another person? In Hebrews, it talks about Rahab, right? Where is Rahab's situation? Rahab, chapter 2, Joshua, the son of Nun, sends two spies secretly to Shittim and saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they came and they went into the house of the harlot. She's a prostitute. Sells her body for money. Who was named Rahab. And they lodged there. And why they did it, we can't assume too much. But then, you know, it's if you pay money and then you could stay, I guess. So there was two spies who stayed with her. And somehow people saw these two strange men go into her house. And the king of Jericho said, bring those men out, bring those men out. And she kind of covered for them. Oh, I don't know where they are. Before the sun went down, they must have gone out the gate. So you should go out in that direction to chase after them. So the king actually sent out some soldiers to go look for them. But she hid the two soldiers in the top of the roof. And then she says something here. Here's verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8. This shows why she is a person of faith. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them to the roof, to the two spies, and said to the men, I know that the Lord has sent you, given you the lands. This harlot, Rahab, knew that Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth, the God of Israel, gave the land to them. That the terror of you has fallen on us, that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. What you did to two kings of Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When they heard, our hearts melted, no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. And the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above the earth and beneath. She believed in the God of Israel. She had faith because she heard what God of Israel did to part the Red Sea and how they destroyed two kings. She believed in the God of Israel. Her faith was pretty clearly defined. Now, therefore, then she says, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you will deal kindly with my father's household and give me a pledge of truth. Not only did she believe God of Israel was the God who gave the land to the Israelites, and he demonstrated the power in parting the Red Sea and destroying the kings, she was sure that Israelites is going to conquer Jericho. When you conquer Jericho, would you remember our family? Would you give an oath that you will spare our family? And sure enough, when they went into the walls came tumbling down and they went into fight, they spared Rahab. She's her immediate family and her extended family, and all that she had was totally safe. You know what else happened? One of the spy name was, what is that fish? Simon. His name is Simon, and Simon married her. And guess what happened? Not only Simon married her, she was the father of Boaz, who was the father of Ruth, who's in line of Jesus. Because of Rahab's faith in the God of Israel, God is not, you know, he doesn't differentiate you're a foreigner or you're Israelite. He's looking for people of faith. Because she believed in the God of Israel. She trusted in God of Israel. She believed that they're going to conquer Jericho. She wanted an oath from the spies. Would you spare us? So because of Rahab, the spies took the information back to Joshua. And that was a pretty huge contribution to the, you know, being victorious also. After the walls came down, they found out a lot of things about the city. So when Joshua, by faith, he took God's instruction, however it sound kind of out of extraordinary, unexpected, he obeyed God. He trusted and obeyed God. So perhaps God may do that for you. Sometimes God may instruct you to do it in a way that might not be the way you usually would do it. But if God is clearly speaking to you to do it in a certain way, obey certain things, submit to certain things, are we willing to do it? By faith and out of obedience. And like the people, you know, God has leaders over us. I guess I'm the pastor, so I'm a leader over you guys, but we have disciplers in our ministry. So we have leader over us. Sometimes the leaders might tell you to do things. Well, that's not how I normally would do it. But it's kind of like, you know, it's not sin, you know. It's not sin to go around the city, is it? Yeah, long as if it's not sin that the leader is telling you to do, maybe you should try doing it. But not just to do it, but you have to trust God and trust the leader. Trust and obey, trust and obey. When you're out in the battlefield there, Gabe, I like to call on him now because Christian soldier is very related to military, right? So when you're in the battle and you have a sergeant or a lieutenant directing the squad, is that right?
Yeah, it would probably
be a sergeant. Sergeant. And if the sergeant says, the battle is, you know, fierce, is this going on? I received the instruction from the lieutenant or the captain. This is what our squad should do. What do you do as the foot soldier? Whatever. But, you know, it sounds kind of like outrageous. That seems so dangerous, or it's not smart. What do you do when you think it may not be what you think it should be? This is just in the military. This is just in the normal military. But Christian soldiers, Christians called to listen to God's voice and even to follow instruction of his chosen prophets or leaders is no different spiritually. What if the leader is kind of off the wall? Who do we trust? You trust the next commanding officer that there be a check and balance, right? Yep, so if a leader, even a spiritual leader, is doing something wrong, guess who's on top? God is on top. So we obey our leaders, trusting God. So, you know, spiritual leaders can get away with things. You know, God will, you know, bring a judgment or instruction. So we see that Jericho fell because of the faith of Joshua, faith of the people, faith of Rahab. But you know, this cannot be fully covered without talking about the next one. This is the conclusion. Defeat of the next city. Ai. Do you know that the Ai, that we're talking about today is not original. You know, the true AI is the city of AI. Chapter 7. The son of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the thing under the ban, for Achan the son of Cami and the son of Zebdi and son of Zerah, tribe of Judah, took some of the things under the ban before the anger, and therefore the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. What happened was, they did obey by going around the city seven times. On the seventh day, they turned around seven times and they shouted, and the wall came tumbling down. They were victorious for the city of Jericho. And they didn't even speak as they went around. But there was one person in all of Israelite community, one man. He took some gold and silver and mantles that he was clearly told not to take. That's for God's purpose. Under the ban is for it to be used for God's purpose. But he took it and he buried it under his tent. And so when they had the next battle of Ai, they sent 3,000 thinking, this little city is not a big deal. Just send about 3,000. But they were defeated. They were chased after and 36 men died. And Joshua tore his clothes and saying, God, did you bring us into this land to destroy us? Now the other kings will think light of us and they will destroy us. And the Lord says, rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. Somebody in your community, and it's not even many, just one person has sinned. And God filtered through the family. And it came to one man named Achan. And Joshua said to in verse 19 of chapter 7, my son, I implore you, give glory to God, and God of Israel, give praise to him. Tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. In verse 29, Achan answered, Joshua said, truly I have sinned against the Lord of Israel, and this is what I did. I saw among the spoils a beautiful mantle of Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver, and bars of gold, 50 shekels in weight. Then I coveted them, took them. Behold, they are concealed in the earth inside my tent, with the silver underneath it. So this is one person in a community of thousands of Israelites, and one person disobeyed the Lord's instruction. Do not take any, he emphatically said, don't covet any of these things. This should be under the ban. It should be used for God. Gold and silver, especially. Iron and bronze. He specifically said, don't be tempted. Don't covet it. But he saw, there's a question, when could he have turned around? When he saw, he coveted, he took them and hid it. So seeing is the first point. Then coveting with your heart is the next point. Taking them is the next point, and then hiding is the next point. Each of those phases, he could have said, no, God said, does not take it. No, God said not to take it. Even before he hid it, he could have said, no, this is not, I need to give it back to the treasury of the Lord because it's to be used by God. But he says, no, when he saw it, I will take it. No, when he took it. No, when he hid it. He said, no, I'm going to do what I'm going to do several times. And in disobeying God, now Joshua had faith. The people of God generally all have faith. Rahab had faith, trusted to obey God, trust and obey. Achan did not have faith. Achan did not obey. And because of this one man, the whole community was impacted. And then the next battle of Ai, they were defeated. So what they did was they came and stoned them, you know, because anybody who does not obey or rebel, they would, you know, stone them. So they stoned them with, the thing is, Achan, his family, extended family, and all his possessions, they stoned them and they burned them. Does that sound like harsh? Well, it sounds pretty harsh. But you know what? If one sin for Israelites, because they need to stay holy unto the Lord in order to be able to conquer the land. Remember, if you walk before me and are blameless, then you will be exceedingly fruitful. God is looking for trust and obedience. Not only in one person in our community, but everyone. But then we sin so much. Well, praise the Lord, we have the blood of Christ. In our situation in this New Testament period, praise the Lord, Jesus died for us. We could confess for our sins. It's not just confessing, though. It's confessing and obeying. If we're doing something wrong against the Lord's command, and we persistently go on, then we become like an Achan. But at any point, we confess our sin, turn around to obedience. Then the blessing will flow in your life and in the life of the community. Therefore, we need to care for each and every one of us. We need to be concerned about each and every one of us so that we will, you know, be faithful to honor God. Trust and obey. Amen? Amen? So we see the example of the faith of Joshua and the people and Rahab. But we need to look at Achan as a warning. How even one person not doing well in trusting and obeying can impact their life, but also life of the community. But we want to pray God would have mercy on our church, our ministry, on campuses. So in order to be blessed and increase exceedingly fruitful, we need to focus on each of our lives, trusting and obeying, trusting and obeying. That's the most important thing, I think, we need to really work on as we hope to raise up the new generation in UCLA, even in USC, even our church. We need to pray that all of us will be obedient to the Lord's command to trust and obey. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for just this example of faith through Joshua and the people and Rahab, but even the warning through Achan. And Lord God, we want to be blessed by you. We want to be exceedingly fruitful and multiply spiritually, especially, Lord. But it requires us to be mindful of your command and commands given through your leaders. So that as we humbly and with trust obey your command, that your blessing and your victory would be blessed to us. And God, we pray that we would really cover each other in prayer. Cover each other in prayer. We'd be concerned about each one of our brothers and sisters, that we together, not only myself would trust and obey, but everyone together will trust and obey to glorify you and so that your blessing will not be held back. So Lord, continue to awaken us to our needs and our need for repentance even. And not only repenting, but to turn our way to obedience. You bless us, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.